Father Bill, I know that sometimes we tease you about lessons that we get, but wow, these are awesome lessons. Let us pray. Lord God, in the midst of our Lenten journey, we pause to hear you say to us that we should deny ourselves and take up a cross and follow you. Lord, in this season, help us to follow you more closely, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I was that first lesson, the Old Testament lesson with Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah. Who wouldn't want to preach on that? Because you could talk about how it affected Isaiah's life. After that, he probably slept with one eye open. Or you could, that second passage with, from Romans 8, which is, I think, one of the most powerful pieces of scripture in existence, that nothing, absolutely nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was the scripture passage I selected for my father's funeral, and I hope someone will select it for me. There is nothing, absolutely nothing. Remember that. That's not what I'm going to preach on, but do remember there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of people who aren't very direct. Sometimes when they're talking to you, the kind of people that beat around the bush, and most people don't want to talk about anything that's unpleasant. They don't want to say things that are harsh, even if it's true, even if it would be helpful. It's not what people want to do. We don't want to talk about painful and unpleasant things. I think the expression is nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room, generally. I remember when my brother, Andy, was dying of cancer, and there would be, every time I was with him, there'd be a lot of people, friends, family, everybody gathered around, and no one would talk about his coming death. They'd talk about, things that we did and all these memories and things, but nobody would talk about death or dying. And the only person in the room that wanted to talk about it was Andy. And so there were times when I was able to be with him one-on-one and we could talk about it. But most of the time, people just don't want to talk about the elephant in the room. It's unpleasant. Let's don't go there. And we find in our Gospels, all of the Gospels, that Jesus is willing to talk about the painful and the unpleasant things in life. He's willing to talk about sorrowful things. And he's willing to speak the truth. In our gospel lesson today, we're sort of joining, I always like I don't know who divides these things up into the pericopes of the lessons, is that we're jumping right in to this conversation Jesus is having with his disciples right after Peter's confession. You are the Messiah. And so in talking with them, Jesus begins to talk about unpleasant things. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Now, can you imagine the wheels turning in the heads of the disciples as they're listening to this? They've just heard that Jesus is the Messiah. And now they're talking about all of these horrible things. That suffer many things, be rejected, be killed. That's not what messiahs do, is it? That's not what we've been taught. That's not what we've been led to believe. It's probably what was going through their minds. So Peter, being the bold, impetuous one, takes Jesus aside to correct him. You know, you're not supposed to be talking about these horrible kinds of things. It cannot be. That's not what lies ahead. This is all about the kingdom of God. It's not about suffering. It's not about betrayal. It's not about death. And then, of course, we know, in turn, Jesus rebuked Peter. Says to him, it sounds kind of harsh. Yes. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now his best friend, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but you're thinking as humans think. And you have to understand, and I know that we all do, we've all heard this a million times, that the Jewish people of Jesus' day were not expecting this Messiah that Jesus is talking about. They're expecting a king of the line of David who's going to come and free them from their oppressors, going to defeat their enemies, and usher in the kingdom of God on earth, and there will be peace. Even though they had the prophecies from Isaiah, the same ones we read during Lent every year, Isaiah made it clear that the Messiah would be a suffering servant, but they could not understand that until after it had happened. Listen to these words from Isaiah 53. Beginning of verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How could they not see that? It's what Jesus was telling them was going to happen. And it's just human nature. It's just human nature. That's not what people want to hear. That's the way we're made. No one wants to talk about or hear about iniquity or sin, especially in today's society. We don't want to hear about suffering and death during a pandemic either. I mean, talk about a downer. What kind of conversation is that going to be? Especially at a time when so many are suffering. But after Jesus rebuked Peter, he called everybody around. He called the crowd to come and join him here with the disciples because he was not one to miss a teaching opportunity. And then he told everyone what no one wanted to hear. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Now, people hearing that message today don't want to buy into it. Now, you can see it in society. No one wants to buy into a message about suffering, taking up a cross, and following anybody. People today would hear that and they would think, well, Jesus needs to get in touch with the folk on Madison Avenue. He needs a more appealing message. They're going to need to work that marketing over for him. Deny yourself? That just doesn't sell. What kind of message is it? Deny yourself. Self-denial is not appealing. This is the age of affirmation, self-affirmation especially. Self is what it's all about. Go online and type in a couple of these. Love yourself. You'll get a million articles. Speak positive affirmations to yourself. We need to do that. The goal now is to become the best version of you that you possibly can. And if you are, if you do that, if you pursue that for yourself, it will lead to fulfillment and it will lead to your happiness. It's not at all about suffering. In fact, it's a way out of suffering. Self-denial could actually be harmful to one's sense of self-worth. That's what's being proclaimed. And there are a multitude of articles and books to help people with their self-affirmation. And I read one in preparation for this. I thought it was interesting. I actually found it appalling, but self-affirmation will help us with our mental health during this pandemic to bring us out of our depression. And as I'm sure many of you know, self-affirmation has sort of married itself to the prosperity gospel. These are titles of Christian books. Become a better you. Think better. Live better. It's your time. These are titles of, actually, they were best-selling Christian books. But I can guarantee you, none of them had a Lenten theme. None of those had a Lenten theme. In fact, I would tell you, none of them have a Christian theme. That is not what Christ calls his followers to be. And there are churches that intentionally do not have crosses in their sanctuaries or worship centers because crosses make a negative statement. It's an instrument of suffering. It's an instrument of pain and death. The very thing people do not want to hear about. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. But there is a truth about the elephant in the room. And as Christians, we need to listen to this. Sticking up right in the middle of your beautiful faith is a great, big, ugly, horrific, ungilded, rough-hewn, blood-stained, and very unsightly wooden cross. It's the ultimate symbol of self-denial. Jesus told his disciples that that's what he was headed for. And he called his followers to embrace that. Now, in these words of self-denial and cross-bearing, Jesus was not calling all of us to grab a cross and go be martyrs. Not everyone is literally going to die on a cross, though many have. The crowd listening to Jesus that day, we need to think about this for a moment, heard the words from Jesus a little differently than we hear them. Because when Jesus spoke these words to them, he had not yet been crucified. He had not yet carried a cross to Calvary. Calvary. Y'all notice that in the news there the last few weeks that nobody knew the difference between cavalry and Calvary. Jesus had not yet been crucified. And so what did the crowd hear when they heard him say, take up a cross and follow me? They would have understood it metaphorically, which I believe is what Jesus intended for them to hear that day. They understood that Jesus was talking about laying aside the desires of self and following him. Later, people would come to understand that in following Jesus this way, it could very easily lead to your death at a crucifixion. But they understood that Jesus was calling them to follow him unconditionally, to lay aside their priorities, to lay aside their will, to take on the priorities of the kingdom and the will of God. Now, while Jesus was not calling people that day to martyrdom, many of the people standing there became martyrs. Not because that's what they specifically sought for themselves. It's just, it naturally happened as part of the exercise of their faith. As they did follow the will of God, as they did live by the priorities of the kingdom. The teaching is about buying in to what Jesus is proclaiming. It's about following Jesus completely. It's about committing yourself to him. There's a story. It's very old. I know you've heard at least part of it, about a conversation between a chicken and a pig. And the chicken says, "Hey, let's start a restaurant. We'll call it Eggs and Ham. That'd be a great name." And the pig said, "Yes, that is a great name, but if we name it that, you're just involved and I'm totally committed." To which the chicken responded, "You're right. We'll call it Wings and Ham. We'll both be committed." There's a difference between being involved and being committed. Self-denial is sort of that dividing line. I'm going to read you a quote. I found this last week in reading. I'll read you the quote before I tell you who said it. Because if I tell you who said it, kind of, self-denial is never just a series of isolated acts of mortification or asceticism. It's not suicide, for there is an element of self-will even in suicide. To deny oneself is to be aware only of Christ. And no more of self. It is to see him only who goes before us. Once more, all that self-denial can say is, he leads the way. Keep close to him. And that was written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Who, in case you don't know, was a theologian who was hanged by the Gestapo in World War II. Unfortunately, 3 days before that camp was liberated by the Americans. But he was hanged on special orders of Himmler because they did not like him. But he knew self-denial. And self-denial is that you're only aware of Christ, not of self. It's extremely, extremely countercultural today. I believe it always has been. So when we hear this message today, we hear these words from Jesus, how do we respond when we hear him say, if we're going to follow him, we've got to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him? And we all know it's extremely unlikely that any of us will ever have to surrender our lives as a martyr, that we would have to choose between life and denying Christ and martyrdom. But I think I mentioned this to Father Christian. I read a sermon by Fred Craddock. And if you don't know who Fred Craddock is, he taught preaching for eons. And he was at Emory University in Atlanta. He is from the Disciples of Christ. Was from the Disciples of Christ. He died about 10 years ago. But in preaching about this very thing, taking up our cross and following, he said that throughout his ministry, people had told him he had heard people say that they would be willing to be martyred if necessary, that they would not deny Christ, that they would go ahead and die given that option. And he said he had no reason to doubt them, no reason to not believe that. In fact, he said he believed that most Christians would do that. That if you had to choose between denying Christ and death, most would choose death. And then he asked this poignant question in his sermon. So if you're willing to die for Christ, why aren't you willing to live for him? And sometimes living for Christ is harder. It's that commitment when we would rather be involved. Completely committed to Christ. And one of the things, and I'll leave you with this, that as we go through our Lenten journey, that we contemplate all of the themes of Lent and take a look at your own commitment. I'll take a look at mine. Am I fully committed? Am I following? Is that all I'm looking at? Am I looking to Jesus Christ, or am I looking to myself? Do I want my will to be done, or do I want his will to be done in my life? I know which one's right to say, but which one am I going to live? And I invite you to do that in the midst of your Lenten journey. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and let's follow Jesus. Amen.